Good morning. It is March 5th, 2023, all of a sudden. How did we get there? And this morning, my voice is a little bit hoarse, not out of some bug or cold or whatnot, but I happened to be at a wedding last night in Raleigh with a loud band and lots of folks to talk to. And so the reason for my fading voice is joyful gathering and glimpses of eternity and a wonderful godly couple who were yielded to the Lord's plan and married by somebody they knew well, and it was a grand celebration. So I delight in having a hoarse voice on that basis. But if you're listening and you're kind of interpreting what's going on with Jay this morning, that's what this is about. So like I said, it's March 5th, 2023, and I cannot begin the message this morning without a note of just appreciation and thankfulness for my parents, for Wardy and Jim Martin. And today is their 63rd wedding anniversary. Married in 1960 in Charlotte. It was the infamous year of the three Wednesday snows, and Dad persevered from the D.C. area in his little Volkswagen Bug through snow. He was a naval officer stationed at Bethesda Naval Hospital at that time, and I came along a year and a half later in September of 61, so I am ever so thankful for today and ever so thankful for Dad's homecoming 5 years ago. So he rests on high, and I will see my mother this afternoon as we head up to Montreat, back to the mountains of Montreat. And this is it's a 400-mile drive, which we'll make in 7 hours, which is somewhat of a modern miracle. And actually, rather than just giving you my travelogue this morning, the theme is going to have to do with engineering of ground and engineering of life and the Lord's provision for us in taking us from hard places to glorious vistas, which he's going to do this afternoon. So, Lord, I just give you thanks today. I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, for you are rock and you are redeemer and you are high mountain and you are rescuer and you meet us in the valleys and you take us to the vistas and you are the one who restores and gives us resolution in the midst of our wanderings. So praise you for the reading of your word this morning. So I've got, we're back into Isaiah, the mountains of Isaiah, and I've actually got before me this beautiful walnut carved representation of the Montreat Valley. And I've mentioned this over the last few weeks. This was a gift to us from our sons, and it's a laser crafted wooden marvel, which has peaks like Lookout Mountain and Graybeard Mountain and Walker's Knob and Brushy Knob and Stompin' Knob, a lot of knobs out there. I'm looking at Piney Ridge, and I'm looking at the valley, and I'm looking at the switchback trail that leads up to something called the Mitchell Toll Road, which led to Mount Mitchell and still leads to Mount Mitchell. And we'll talk more about that momentarily. But before doing that, I want to get into God's word in Isaiah as it relates to mountains and what God does with mountains and how God speaks from mountains. And again, how he rescues us from the valleys low. So I'm going to have three readings, the early 40s of Isaiah, moving to Isaiah 49, and I want you to listen with me. Listen with me to God's word and listen with me to a theme. And if you don't hear anything this morning, just go, wow, that's just rich. And I'm going to take into church this morning a bucket, and I'm going to say, this is a bucket full of promises of God. And you could, I don't know that I'll have time to write the promises of God out on little pieces of paper, but I could easily pass this bucket around the congregation, and each person could draw out a promise on which you can stand. So in this mountain message, look for the treasures of God's promises, and they are abundant. But also listen, play along with me, listen to a theme that goes throughout these readings. So this is in Isaiah 40, and this will be a familiar passage, but for many reasons, Isaiah 40 verse 3 says this, "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Wow. And you're like, why don't you stop there? Let's talk about that bucket of promises, the mountains and hills made low, the glory of the Lord being revealed, a voice of one calling in the desert. And of course, you'll remember this as a prophetic passage, as these all are, relative to John the Baptist making way for his cousin and our Savior, Jesus, whose sandals he was not worthy to untie, but who made way, who made the way, truth, and life. So we move forward couple of chapters to Isaiah 42, and I read this a couple of weeks ago, but I just want you to look again for these themes. Isaiah 42:15 says this, I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. Friends, again, if you've got to turn this off after a mere 5 minutes and 35 seconds of recording, you've got promises of God to pull forth. Take the time daily to go into the Word of the Lord to find applicable promises for your life, for our world, for perspective, and for passing on. So today, and we've gone Isaiah 40, a couple of verses, Isaiah 42, a couple of verses. Again, listen for themes. We're in Isaiah 49, and I'm going to read 8 through 13, a little longer passage, but again, it's a bucket full of promises. So preacher here gets the privilege of pointing to the power in God's word. Verse 8 says this, this is what the Lord says, in the time of my favor, I will answer you. In the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land, to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. They will feed beside the roads. They will find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat upon them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. Verse 11, I will turn all my mountains into roads, and my highways will be raised up. See, they will come from afar, some from the north, some from the west, some from the region of Aswan. Shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on the afflicted ones. Loads of promises in those promise buckets. But between those passages, don't know if you've picked up on a theme. Of course, you know that I'm in a mountain series. Well, ultimately, in each of those places, there is a promise to make rough places smooth. In chapter 49, it's to elevate highways, and there are highways along which folks can feed. There are pastures on barren hills where it's normally a rocky outcropping with no food. It's God's plan to restore, redeem, and rescue his people consistently and in varied ways. So the Lord is not here literally saying, I am an environmental terrorist and I'm going to mow my mountains to the ground and every place on earth is going to become flat. But ultimately, and you're seeing this, and you don't need me to tell you this, but the symbolism inherited is that we're facing these mountains and they seem impossible to climb. And you know, I don't know what your mountain is today. I don't know if your mountain is something having to do with parenting young children, parenting adult children. I don't know if your mountain is an appointment you've got coming up that has to do with a diagnosis. I don't know if your mountain is a mountain of debt. I don't know if your mountain is a mountain of anger or resentment, a mountain of poor life choices that have left you floundering, a mountain of uncertainty, and you have failed to probe the depths of God's treasured word as a resource. But good news is this, and hope is this. Our Lord has promised to make rough places smooth, has promised to turn mountains into highways and to elevate them. And he has done so at his own cost. So when I think of earth moving and mountain moving, the best I can do is a wheelbarrow and a shovel. And I remember several years ago, Sam and I dug out some of the clay from a bed in our yard and carried 40 or 50 wheelbarrows full of that clay around and put them in a side bed where it wouldn't get in anybody's way in order to make fertile ground for some plantings, you know, right beside our driveway. And, you know, that was a multi-hour job simply to move 40 wheelbarrows full of clay by hand. I have a good friend from my days back in Tennessee, a dear brother named Tony Bowles. And Tony owned at the time East Tennessee Grading Company. And Tony was a kid with basically real-life Tonka trucks who loved to move dirt and make beautiful things happen. And one year we were visiting Signal Mountain, again, where I had served as a pastor on staff there for 5 years. And Tony said, let me take you out to my new sand pile. So Tony took us out to this hundreds of acres at the old Chattanooga Armory. And out there, his crew of trucks and vehicles and earth movers and backhoes and whatnot was taking an old armory and turning it into a Volkswagen plant. So we went up on a ridge and we're just watching, the plan for making rough places, making places created for harm, frankly, into something smooth that was creating something that was good. So when I hear rough places made smooth and I hear mountains leveled off and roads elevated, I think of Tony and I think of that earth moving back to the mountains of Montreat and the mountains of Isaiah and how they tie in. This Mitchell Toll Road is about a 10-mile road which runs off the back of Graybeard Mountain and out of the Montreat Cove, and it winds its way up to the tallest peak in the east, which is Mount Mitchell at over 6,600 feet. And this was literally both a logging road. It was used by loggers to get wood to build, cities with and houses with and boats with. And it was also the site of the Mitchell Cog Railway, which would take tourists from the valley near Asheville, Swannanoa, Black Mountain, up to the beautiful vistas of Mitchell, where they would see the beauty of the creation. But the Mitchell Toll Road is called Toll, Toll, because there was a cost to ride the train, there was a cost to go down the road, and there was certainly a cost to build it. There was certainly a cost to build it. And so all of these beautiful promised invitations of the Lord have come with his intentionality. And lest we think of God as the mighty Merlin of wizards up on Mount Zion, waving his wand and moving mountains and making rough places plain, the rough places from which we need the most rescue are often of our own doing. We were in paradise, Adam and Eve in Eden, and in an ultimate place of perfection and smoothness, and yes, work, meaningful missional work within that context, given dominion over this majestic creation. But ultimately, we created a swamp. We created carnage. We created brokenness with our choice to rebel. And we are born with a propensity to rebellion. We are, Gene and I, again, are headed to Montreat. And one blessing of that trip will be that we get to share that time with both of our mothers, who are now 85 and 93. But we won the lottery when it comes to moms, who are so sharp and so kind and so loving and affirming. But we've also got next gen little Wright Martin, who is our, grandson, who's a toddler and, just under a year and a half old, and is just full of wonder and delight and busy, and he's ambulatory now, and so he's a little live wire. And what we're going to experience with Wright is just pure joy, but it's also, we're going to have to be vigilant, because Wright may not always listen to what we say, and he is prone to wander. And we've got, big steps, and they're hills, and he's a, lives in Charlotte, and we're going to take him to the park, and we're going to have him play in the creek, and we're going to do all kinds of fun things. Play in the creek only if it's warm enough. I know it's still March, but ultimately, right, our precious, perfect little miracle of a grandchild is going to be a sinner. He's going to wander, and the cost for bringing us out of wandering places, the cost is the cross, the cost is the sacrifice, and we are on the road to Calvary now. We are on the road to Jesus' ultimate sacrifice. And the rough places in our lives are so often self-made. Now, granted, if you face a diagnosis, if you face a betrayal, if you face basically an offense to you, that's beyond your control. But for many of us, for all of us, all we like sheep have gone astray. There's a falling and there is a rescue, and the promises of the Lord are to bring us out of that muck and that mire and that mess. So contextually, a couple of things are happening in our world today down here in Washington. One of which is that there will be a new friend, a new dear friend, who will speak at Good Shepherd for 6 or 7 minutes on his ministry, which is called Operation Resolute. It's called Operation Resolute. And to be resolute is to be firmly and admirably determined to following through a course. I am resolute. We don't use this kind of language anymore, but Operation Resolute, and Joel McDaniel will speak to this, is a parcel of two parcels of property in Hyde County, which is east of Beaufort County. It's great hunting country. It's on the Pamlico River as it approaches the Pamlico Sound, and it's designed specifically as a refuge for active duty military and chaplains who voluntarily go into that environment to deal with trauma of war and trauma of life and trauma of decisions. And it's a hunting compound and it's a healing compound. And Joel is going to speak to the nature of this place called Resolute. And it's interesting. I was thinking Resolute rang a bell in my mind and in my memory, and it came out of the National Treasure movies where Nicolas Cage and, you know, they went and found the secret underneath Wall Street. You may not be familiar with that, but ultimately Resolute, there's a desk called Resolute Desk, which has sat in the Oval Office for many presidents, and it's a 1,300-pound magnificent piece of craftsmanship, and it was crafted from the hull and the wood of the HMS Resolute, which is a British ship which was an Arctic explorer from the 1800s, and the Resolute was ultimately abandoned in an ice floe somewhere north of Canada in the Arctic, and it was rescued ultimately, and it was going to be scrapped, but out of that scrap wood, a challenge was given to build amazing pieces of furniture because the wood had held up and endured, and one of the pieces that came out was this desk called Resolute, and the beauty of that story, and one reason that I share it, is that that's God's nature, to take that which is wrecked, that which is abandoned, that which is set to be scrapped or burned, and to say, whoa, 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 time out. There is worth, there is value, there is Resolute. This hunk of wood, which couldn't have sunk to the bottom of the Arctic Ocean or been burned or used for something very pedestrian, instead has been crafted into a majestic piece of furniture that sits in the most powerful office in the world, at least in this season of human history. And again, that is metaphorical for what the Lord wants to do with each of us. I'm going to read parts of Isaiah 49 again, for I covered a lot of territory, a lot of mountains, a lot of journeying with you since the reading of that. And I'm going to talk about five simple short stories of rescue and being lifted to elevated highways, and see if any of this, again, go with me on a scriptural and spiritual treasure hunt. The Lord says, in the time of my favor, I will answer you. Okay? I'm going to answer you. And to answer you means that we're going to call, we're going to initiate, we're going to build relationship. In the day of salvation, here's the word salvation. We think, oh, that's only Easter. That's only New Testament. No, the Lord has become and is becoming our salvation. And salvation means rescue from dissolution and to restore. He says, I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people. To keep is to hold and to treasure and to not let loose of. My plan is to restore the land and reassign desolate inheritances. Gosh, I could preach a sermon on that just topic of desolate inheritance. I don't know if any of you feel like you've got a desolate inheritance, and that doesn't mean what your mama or your daddy left you in their will. You know, there can be inheritances that are generational, which are built on faulty family foundations of deceit or favoritism or sexual dysfunction, and that's all in the founding mothers and fathers of Scripture. You'll see in Abraham's world deceit. You'll see in Joseph's world favoritism. You'll see in David's world the sexual deviance. And yet the Lord rescues and reassigns desolate inheritances. He says this in verse 9. He says to the captives, come out. To those in darkness, be free. You know, Jesus calls disciples, as we read of the original 12, and he continues to call disciples. And the call is to come out from our bondage, to come out from our dark places. And then he says, they will feed beside the roads and find pasture on every barren hill. Now, you know, again, my sometimes dark mind can go, feed beside the roads. Is he talking about just roadkill? No, he's talking about providing abundant bounty for us in the midst of the journey. He wants to lead us to a table, and this morning and virtually every morning at Good Shepherd, as a vestige of our Eucharistic heritage, meaning thankful heritage, that's what Eucharist means, we come to the Lord's table. And we come to the Lord's table to remember the cost of the road, the cost of the way, the cost of going through the swamps that we create in our lives, the cost that was the cross. We remember that, and we remember that invitation at the table to come and to eat the bread and the body that is given and broken, to drink from the cup, which is new covenant. And there's even that language of covenant here. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat upon them. So the Lord is, again, there's rescue from, you know, from miry pits. There's rescue from desert. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of waters. And, you know, I think about my hikes in Montreat, and one of the most vital resources anywhere on the planet, and you think the mountains are lush and green, but finding streams of water in the mountains can be elusive. And my dad and I, in our days of Boy Scouting and beyond, would hike to this mountain near the Linville Gorge called Shortoff. And Shortoff had this cliff, and it looked terrifying if you're scared of heights, and it is rightfully to be cautiously considered. But near Shortoff was a pond. It was an active, clear, running stream. And in those days, we didn't, you know, treat the water, sterilize the water. We came back, no harm, no foul. But ultimately, streams of water are so vital in the mountains. And the Lord is promising. He's promising that. He says, I will turn all my mountains into roads, and my highways will be raised up. You know, the wonder of technology, you know, has increased over the years. But nonetheless, if we look back into antiquity, we see the amazing nature of precise engineering, whether it's, you know, Egyptian pyramids, whether it's, you know, European cathedrals, whether it's, you know, things that the Aztecs and the Incas built in South America. The capacity for engineering amazing structures is remarkable. But for the Lord, he's a laborer. He has done good work and declared it good, and he continues. As we walk around the Mitchell Toll Road, you know, rather than walk through the deep valley, there has been a fill and a level path made that a train could go across, or that a truck could go across to haul logs. And it's also obviously a much easier trail for us. A much easier trail for us. Friends, part of the journey of discipleship is to trust God's word, but it's to get up and make a move. It's to get up and it's to show up. And this week in Washington, and this is a reboot of a practice that was 10 or 12 years ongoing, which is simply called the Youth Prayer Breakfast. And it sounds so counterintuitive, because what we do for a full week, every morning, Monday through Friday, is host breakfast for high school and middle schoolers, beginning at 6:30 a.m. for the middle schoolers and 7:30 for the high schoolers. And this was a reboot, and we weren't sure, you know, if kids would remember how much they enjoyed it before. So, you know, if we get 50 kids, wow, yay. Yay, God, we've done well. Well, 300 students later and 5 mornings, we're in the aftermath. I feel like I've been on a local mission trip, and I'm a little drained from that. But more than anything, I'm energized because of these young people showing up, and their parents showing up, and volunteers showing up, and feeders showing up. And in each week, each morning, there is a speaker who offers a glimpse into their journey with Jesus and how he's resourced them in hard places and led them to mountaintops. And a theme emerged this week here in Little Washington, and we had 5 somewhat local speakers, three from Greenville, you know, one who was an ECU student, and one who is a local mom right here in Washington. And without going into the full details of their story, the first morning was a ninja warrior, the second literally from the TV show, who's now a contractor. The second was a woman who was a world famous water skier named Christy Overton, who was a world champion in her teens, and she's now in her mid-50s and a mom and a grandmom, and she continues to do ministry. These are all folks who have followed the Lord through adversity and to mountaintops. A former NFL player named Terrence Copper, who grew up in Washington, raised by his grandmother, went to Washington High School, ECU, played for the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Baltimore Ravens, and the New Orleans Saints. And then Thursday, Quisha Horton, whose husband Antoine is a pastor of Kingdom Life Church, and he's one of my black pastor friends who is just amazing and dear and impactful to community. And lastly, a young man spoke Friday who was 18. His name is Parker Bird, and Parker was an ECU all-star shortstop recruit last year until a boating accident took the lower third of his right leg, and he came up on his prosthetic and shared his story. And the theme in all these is each one of these individuals fell, whether it's a water skier, whether it's a ninja warrior competitor, whether it's an NFL player, and they fall literally on the field, but they fall morally and spiritually, whether it's you know, drugs and alcohol, or whether it's despair, or whether it's a business failure, whether it's a teenage pregnancy, as Quisha Horton shared openly with the group, whether it's the ultimate beyond your control nightmare of a fall where an athlete who had the potential to play in the major leagues has lost, you know, his physical capacity to do that. Maybe he still has a dream. And this is a 19-year-old who has such a smile and such charisma, even in spite of the tragic nature of his loss of limb. So in each of those, we saw fall and pickup. When Christy Overton fell from water skiing, the boat always circled back to pick her up. When Terrence Copper fell in terms of, you know, overspending his money as an NFL player or getting into the party scene, he had a circle of men who would surround him and pick him up. part of the promise of how the Lord makes paths for us is he makes paths through people. He makes paths through people who come alongside. And for each of these speakers, the theme of falling and the Lord's rescue was consistent. Also, the theme verse, and you know this, but we're going to expand on it today, was the classic verse out of Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Who knows it? You know, say it to yourself. I can't interact with you, obviously, since I'm making this recording. But Jeremiah 29, 11, I can quote it from heart. We've heard it at lots of high school graduations and college commencements and whatnot. You know, essentially, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And this was quoted unbeknownst to any of them by three of the speakers this week. And Quisha quoted that on Thursday, and Parker quoted that on Friday. And it's a promise that is like, yeah, he knows our plans, and he's going to give us hope and give us a future. But what we sometimes fail, many times fail to do, is to go deeper and go more thoughtfully. So I'm going to close out with these extra verses from Jeremiah 29:11. As we see the Lord coming alongside and making the rough places smooth, raising up the highways at his own cost. Verse 12, after this verse, to give you a hope and a future, then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Call and pray, and he will listen. You know, we want the hope and a future. We want the plans to prosper you. We want the marching orders, and we'll say, you know, thank you for the graduation gifts. Maybe I'll write you a note, maybe I won't, but I'm marching off into my future. But the Lord's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. There is relationship here. The promises of God come with the expectation that there is righteousness, and righteousness means right relatedness. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. There's more. Verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So this is a God, he said, I promise to be found, but I want you to seek. I want you to be active. I gave you legs for a reason. And even if you were unable to walk, as Parker, who lost his leg, was unable to walk last summer, he was in that hospital room. He was seeking, and he had no idea the impact of his story and of his faith. And he would hear that there were pockets of folks praying for him all over the place, and even folks coming to the Lord because they were invited into this desperate place where he nearly lost his life. But he was showing the fruit of God's restorative and redemptive plans. Verse 14, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. So maybe we're ending the message on a prickly note, because some of you may have said, whoa, 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 what do you say at the end? The places where I banished you? The places where I carried you into exile? Isn't this a message about restoration and raising up roads and toll roads and picking us up when we're down? Yes, it is all those things. But if we're honest with ourselves and with Scripture, it takes hardship for us to give God our full attention. That's the nature of the story. It takes wandering. It takes acts of God. It takes engineering. And we're talking a lot about engineering roads and engineering armories into Volkswagen plants with Tony Bowles and the engineering of the Mitchell Toll Road. But the Lord, and this is a quote from an Andy Stanley sermon from years ago, the Lord reserves the right to engineer our circumstances in order not to get us back, meaning pay us back. There's not a revenge motive in the Lord's plan, but in order to win us back. To win us back. So you may be at a point now where you're feeling exile, where you're feeling in captivity, and that will not last forever. And here's what the Lord asks. He says, get up and walk towards me, call upon me, seek me, and you will be found, and I will listen. So at this wedding last night, I was having a casual conversation that got deep real quick with a man I had never met before who was also there to celebrate this couple. And we were speaking about life and about journey and finding out I was a pastor and whatnot. And he was talking about his kids. And, you know, here he was at a party with beer and wine and people were behaving, but it was a gala, you know, it was a Cana celebration. And he said, you know, I came to Christ, after my wife and I were married back in the 90s. She came through a Bible study. I went to a Promise Keepers in Charlotte at the Speedway, and I was actually there with a group from Goldsboro, of course, with 50,000 people there. I didn't meet him. But he said, you know, I came back and I was convicted that my place of captivity was alcohol. it was alcohol, and I couldn't stop. And I would, you know, if I was going to drink, I was going to get drunk. And this was his story. And he said he heard on the radio one day, driving to work, a pastor say this: pray for 30 days straight. I mean, it sounds very formulaic, for whatever is besetting you, and the Lord will bring some deliverance. And he prayed 3 days over alcohol, and he has been dry since. But he took that captivity, he took that addiction, he took that problem, which was debilitating, and he took it to the Lord. And the Lord says, you know what? I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And he's lived that out. And he looked back in the rear view, and alcohol was an issue on both sides of his family going back multiple generations. And, you know, we can shake our fists at God and say, that kind of captivity is not fair. I want to be like everybody else. Well, sometimes you don't get to pick your story, but God has chosen your story. And the story is this: come to my holy mountain, seek me, and I will be found. Pray to me, and I will listen. There is a voice that is calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And this was in Isaiah's day. That Lord has come. And his name is Jesus. His name is Wonderful Counselor. His name is Mighty God. His name is Everlasting Father. His name is Prince of Peace. You've taken the time to listen to me this morning. Take time to listen to the source of life, who makes your rough places smooth. Amen.